chapter 9, part 3 of this series of messages we began a couple weeks ago on Sunday morning. Following this morning's service, we are baptizing into the membership of Faith Baptist Church, Brother Steve Civic. So we look forward to that and hope you're praying for him, praying that God would bless him as he takes this step. Let's read verse 18 through 27. This was the whole text of our message when we began it. And it came to pass as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him, and he asked them, saying, "Whom say the people that I am?" They answering said, "John the Baptist, but some say Elijah, others say that one of the old prophets is risen again." He said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" Peter answering said, "The Christ of God." And he straightly charged them and commanded them to tell no man that thing, saying, "The Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be slain and be raised the third day." He said to them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself and be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. But I tell you of a truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God." We've been looking at the gospel in this passage of Scripture. And our message has had three points to it: the gospel in substance, the gospel in subject, and the gospel in success. The gospel in substance has to do with, what is the gospel? What does the gospel message contain? Jesus made it very clear in verse number 22 that he must suffer, he must be rejected, he must be slain, he must be raised again. That's the gospel. And that's the substance of the gospel. Paul called it the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. There are many different ways of presenting the gospel. But we considered the gospel in substance: the suffering, the rejection, the slaying, the raising again of Christ. But then we also noticed last week the gospel in subject. The gospel in subject, or the gospel as a subject. The gospel as the subject that Jesus Christ was going to focus in on during his ministry. The gospel as a subject is what Christ was training the apostles and training the disciples and training that first church would be their subject. He commanded them not to speak about his deity, not to speak about him being the anointed, not to speak as though he's the Messiah, the deliverer, the great political figure that Israel was looking for. He commanded them not to speak about that, because that wasn't the subject for the hour. That wasn't the subject that they were being groomed to be witnesses about. That wasn't the subject of their preaching. When he told them to go preach, I want to speak, the Bible speaks about how beautiful are the feet of those who bring glad tidings. And when Acts chapter 1, we find the words, "Ye shall be witnesses to me." They were all going to be witnesses. They were all going to speak. They were all going to preach the gospel. That was going to be their subject. Today, we want to consider the gospel in success. The success of the gospel. If we find here in verse number 23, "And he said unto them all," he said to them all, seems to me that he's still speaking to the 12. He's still speaking to those that he has called aside from the multitudes. I don't think the emphasis has switched to him speaking to the masses again. But in light of the Lord's private discussion with them, I believe he continues to speak unto them all that he had separated for this purpose. He says, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." Jesus Christ says, "If any man come after me," who is he speaking to? He's speaking to those that are already saved. He's speaking to those that have already been baptized by the beloved Apostle John and prepared for Christ and his ministry and the laying of the foundation of his first church. He's speaking to those who are already saved. And so the success of the gospel is not salvation. That's where most people's minds would go. The success of the gospel must be salvation. But I put before you this morning that the success of the gospel is seen in discipleship. Salvation is the effect of the gospel. Salvation is found in the power that is preached in the gospel. But Jesus Christ is speaking to those that are already his disciples. And he says, "Any man that comes after me, any man that willingly, voluntarily comes after me, seeks to be a follower of me, must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." There's where you see the success of the gospel. The gospel bringing forth true disciples of Jesus Christ. We see this in the Great Commission, Matthew 28. Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20. "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power or authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations," or preach the gospel. As we compare that with Mark's rendering. "Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." In the Great Commission, this passage we just read, where's salvation? It's not immediately mentioned. He tells them to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Then he goes from going to all the world and preach the gospel to baptizing them, to teaching them to observe all things. It's as though the Lord is assuming they understand that between go into all the world and preach the gospel and baptize those that are believing, it's as though he's assuming that they understand that God is going to save some. God is going to save his people through the preaching of the gospel. And so we properly read this passage of Scripture to go into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing the saved. We don't baptize anybody till they're saved. That's easy statement to prove throughout the Gospels and throughout the New Testament. But we are to preach the gospel. God is going to save those that He will. We're to baptize those that He saves and those that come for baptism. Then what are we supposed to do? See, the success of the gospel, the success of the preaching is the fact that God is going to save a people. But those that are truly saved will be disciples. And it's in discipleship that I see the real success of the gospel, the fruition through which the gospel preached. The Lord came to save His people from their sins. He came to call people to discipleship. He didn't come just to be a fire escape from hell, but He came to call disciples. And He speaks of discipleship in our text. He says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations," or preach the gospel, "baptize those that are saved in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe," teaching them to do, discipling them in whatsoever I have commanded you. That's the same focus of the words of Christ in our text. The substance of the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for sinners. The subject of the gospel means that's what we preach. That's the message we are sent with. The preaching of the gospel is about the saving of the soul and God's calling His people to Christ. But the real success of the gospel is seen in disciples, in discipleship. Are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? Are you a disciple? Do you have the evidences of true discipleship? Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I command you. Or paraphrasing it, teach them to do as I've taught you and I've told you to do. We preach the gospel. God is going to save a people. He's going to call unto His Son those that He's chosen to salvation. They'll make themselves known by their professions of faith. Then we scripturally baptize them. But our work and our calling doesn't end there. We're to disciple them. We're to teach them to do. We're to teach them to follow. We're to teach them to obey the commandments of the Lord. And that's the real success of the gospel. Jesus said in our text to those who had all surely already knew Him as their Savior, put their faith in Him, "If any man will come after me," that speaks of discipleship. That speaks of the willing, voluntarily doing of something. They can't willingly or voluntarily do what He's speaking of unless they have the Spirit of God within them, unless they're already saved. So He's speaking to save folks. He's speaking to those who are already disciples. And He says, "If any man will come after me," if any man will be my disciple, he's going to have to deny himself. He's going to have to take up his cross and follow me. That's true discipleship. And that's the real fruition of the gospel. The gospel isn't about, as I already said, just about getting people out of hell, saving people from their sins. But it's about saving them to Christ. It's about bringing them to repentance and faith. It's about having them turn from themselves and their sin to faith in Jesus Christ. To follow him. Has the gospel been successful in your life, my Christian friend? Has the gospel been successful? Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Verse 11 and 12, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. So the grace of God that brings salvation has been preached and has appeared to all men, has been heard everywhere. The grace that bringeth salvation has been heard, been preached everywhere. But there's always a notable change in the thought of verse number 12. It's been preached everywhere. It's been made apparent everywhere. But it has taught us. It has taught us. Not everywhere it's preached does it teach. Not everybody who hears the gospel receives Jesus Christ as their Savior. Not everybody who hears the gospel and maybe makes a profession of faith becomes a true disciple of Jesus Christ. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Is that your brand of discipleship? Has the grace of God that appeared to all men taught you some things, discipled you? Has it brought forth fruit in your life? Has the gospel been successful in discipling you to denying yourself? All you have to do is look at your life. All you have to do is look at yesterday. All you have to do is look at the past week. Be honest with yourself. Do you, as a routine, deny yourself anything? Are you practicing true discipleship? See, Jesus Christ, though he was God in the flesh, he was also not only all God, but he was all man. And as a man, though he never sinned, he had the natural desires that would have come with the flesh. And his life was a life of denying his desires. His life was a life of denying what the flesh would have naturally wanted to do, to experience. Jesus Christ lived a life of denying himself in preparation of going to the cross, and he's telling us that the gospel must be preached, and to some it's going to make a difference, it's going to be heard, it's going to be believed, and to some it'll teach them to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. It'll cause them to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. To some it's going to make a difference. And the difference is true discipleship. True discipleship. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust then turns to the positive. We should live soberly. Are you living soberly, seriously? Righteously? Are you doing the right things? Are you following the right path, the right course? We heard in Sunday school about what that path is. It's the old path. It's the old ways. Do you have some kind of newfangled brand of Christianity? Do you have a brand of Christianity where the road is easy and you get everything you want and you get everything you want to do? When you play and when you party, you can play and party without any consequence. Do you have the new way or do you have the old way? Which one are we told to seek? From that passage of Scripture, we're to seek the old path, the old ways. A lot of people have something new. But something new is not what God wants us to have. The gospel is not acceptable, it's not made successful and somebody who's been discipled to a new way, but the gospel is successful in light of somebody who's been taken to the old ways and the old paths. Wherein is the good way? Now Jesus said, if you want to be my disciple, a true disciple must deny himself. Must deny himself. But then he goes on to tell us something else, a second item in our text, verse 23. The gospel in success is seen in true discipleship. True discipleship is evidenced by an individual who has been saved by the grace of God, who denies themselves, who denies the flesh, the natural desires, who tells themselves, no, I've got more serious things to be doing. Then he says, any man come after me, the gospel will be made successful in his denying himself. If any man come after me, voluntarily follow me, the gospel will be made successful in his taking up his cross daily. I thought about this message and I just thought, this is not what describes Christianity to most people today. Most people who claim to be Christians deny themselves nothing, tell the flesh no in no regards. Modern day Christianity, over by and large, doesn't involve crucifying yourself. Crucifying yourself, that's what he's speaking of here. Verse number 23, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily. Here's another one of those passages of scriptures where the wording is cause for pause. Some would say that taking up his cross, the his there is Christ. Because the referencing of the cross is in verse number 22. And the subject of verse number 23 is discipleship. And true discipleship would involve taking up the cross of Christ. Not talking about something annually that they do at Easter where they pick up a wooden cross and walk through the streets as clowns. But there is in Christianity a taking up of the cross of Christ. That's why we're Christians. That's what we're sent to preach and to teach. So I'm not going to take major issue with anybody who sees the his there is Christ. The more I study it, the more I'm convinced that according to Scripture, everybody who names the name of Christ has a cross. If you're a Christian, you say you're saved, you say Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again for your sins, then not only are you called to a life of denial, but you have been given a cross to bear, and a true disciple of Christ bears that cross. What's it say there in verse number 23? Daily. Every single day. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. First Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 30 and 31. And why stand we in jeopardy every hour? I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. Notice those last three words of verse 31 from the Apostle Paul. I die daily. I die daily. Jesus said, a true disciple must deny himself. A true disciple must take up his cross daily. I can't remember the name of the song. If I was going to take the time, I'd come up with it. It talks about, must Jesus bear the cross alone? That's probably the title. And all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone. And there's a cross for me. True disciples deny themselves. How successful is the gospel in our lives at denying ourselves anything? True disciples reveal the success of the gospel by taking up their personal cross on a daily basis. On a daily basis. Now let's just get right down to it. Are we living a life that demonstrates the success of the gospel in denying ourselves? Telling ourselves no? Putting Christ first? Are we living a life that evidences the gospel is successful in our life by our taking up our cross? When is the last time you took up your cross? When was the last day? We're told to take it daily. Paul spoke of taking up the cross that had been given to him, and he died daily. The Bible speaks about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ and says that we who have believed in him have crucified the flesh. As our brother is baptized here in a little bit, every member of Faith Baptist Church has likewise already been baptized. And we're picturing the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ when we baptize someone. We're picturing what their faith is in. But baptism is also a declarative act. It's declaring that we are dead to the flesh, and we're raised to do what? We're raised to walk in newness of life. We're raised to take the cross that has been given to us and appointed us, and it's different for you and it's different for me, but we're all given a cross. And the true disciple demonstrates the success of the gospel by daily, every single day, taking up their cross and crucifying the flesh. And I didn't think about this message being real negative, but I think it probably is coming across real negative because we don't have this kind of Christianity very often found in the world today. We're saved. Well, we're so happy we're saved, but do we have evidence of our salvation shows proof positive to those around us? We deny ourselves. How did you crucify the flesh yesterday? How did you crucify? How did you take up your cross? That's unique to you. How did you take up your cross yesterday? See, baptism is a declarative act, as I just said. But it's declaring that we've been raised, we come up out of the water, and we're promising, we're committing ourselves to walk in newness of life. We're promising to take up our cross. See, I always think of this phrase and phraseology, this thought. God has not called us to be crucified for Christ. He's called us to live for Christ. And living for Christ involves our denying ourselves. It involves our taking up our cross and our taking up our cross daily, crucifying the flesh. Crucifying the flesh. Third thing there, we hasten to a close. We've rushed for the sake of time. He said to them, if any man will come after me, that's discipleship, as I said. And I think you find in that term, if any man will come after me, there is that willingness. It's not forced. It's not mandated. But if anybody will be my disciple, any man wants to come after me, they must willingly do it. They must voluntarily follow me, become a disciple of Jesus Christ. After they hear the gospel, being saved by grace and repenting and putting their trust in Christ, they must willingly, and they will willingly, come in the day of his power. And any man who will come after me, willingly and voluntarily, must deny himself, there's one, must take up his cross, with the added qualifier, daily, and must follow me. And must follow me. You have the imagery in Scripture of Jesus Christ going and seeing an apostle or two and then saying to them, come follow me. We have the imagery of him speaking to some who were fishing. Come follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. What did they do? They followed him. It's not rocket science, is it? I mean, they were doing their jobs, and they were fishing there looking for fish. And Jesus said, come follow me, and they left their nets. That's what the Bible tells us. They left their nets, and they got in behind Jesus Christ. They became a follower of Jesus Christ. And there's just a whole another series of messages in what it means to follow Christ. It means to follow after him, to follow his example, to follow his heed, or to heed his commands. But that's where you see the gospel successful, effectual when God saves people. But the gospel really brought to fruition in discipleship. The gospel really shown successful by those willingly, voluntarily who are saved, denying themselves, taking up their cross daily, and following him. In verse 24, whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever will lose his life shall find it. That's just speaking of those things that are counter to denying yourself. Those are things, speaking of things that are counter to taking up your cross daily. Those things are counter to those that follow me. If you find your life, you put yourself first, you lose it. You say you want to be a follower of Christ, but you're too busy following yourself, your own desires and wishes and passions. And you deny yourself nothing at all. What you're doing is losing your life. Not your soul. It's not speaking about eternity. It's speaking about life. Those who are true disciples of Christ find their life by losing their life. They find their life by denying themselves. They find their life by taking up their cross daily and crucifying the flesh. They find their life by being a follower of Jesus Christ. And it's one thing to say you're a Christian. It's one thing to say you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's one thing for you and for me to say we're disciples of Jesus Christ. And the gospel has been successful in our lives. But it's a totally different thing to prove by the way we live our life. Can the world around us see the success of the gospel in our lives? Can they see our denying? They're always denying themselves. They're always telling themselves no. They're always putting Christ first, the things of Christ first. They're crucifying the flesh. They're always saying no to the flesh and the desires of the flesh. They're always following that Jesus. Always following that Jesus. There's where the evidence of the success of the gospel is found. How successful is the gospel that you cling to, that I cling to? Let's stand together. Have a verse of song.